Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 136. Matt, as you got some tea in your mouth, how you doing, buddy?
Well, it's coffee, not tea. But I'm good. I'm good, thank you, Graham. It's been a bit of a week, actually, at work. So I'm kind of glad I can sit here and talk wrestling with someone intelligent about wrestling and you.
I knew exactly where you were going. I was on that. I know what you were talking about. And yeah, it's been the last week of the quarter at school for me. And oh my God, I am just dying. I need 9 days to recover. But no, I'm absolutely with you, Matt. This is exactly the tonic that I needed to start the holiday. So let's not waste any more time. Let's introduce our guest from the It's Our House podcast. We've got Chris Dees with us. How are you doing today, Chris?
I am great, man. Thank you very much. I'm looking out the window. It is a beautiful, beautiful sunny day at 11 o'clock. So what better thing to do than stay inside and talk wrestling? You know?
Well, we have to stay at home at the moment still. We still stay at home still for another 48 hours.
Still got a couple of weeks. 12th of April, everything's back to normal.
You can go out in the garden again, though, from Monday. So.
Oh, yeah, with groups of six, isn't it?
Groups of six. So Monday. I'm in Mum's garden on Monday afternoon, I am, yes.
Great, I can invite people around who I don't like and don't want to spend time with. Good.
Now, this is normally the segment right at the start. We ask you to tell us a little bit about your podcast. I know you've had a couple of cracking interviews in this month. We've already had Eric Bischoff and Rene Michel. I know that's not what all you do. I know you do other things as well. But for people that haven't listened to your podcast, go ahead and give us a little bit about the vibe you'd say.
You know, it's very similar to you guys. Me and Faz just sit and have a chat and just enjoy chatting about wrestling. There's so few, especially over the last year, like, and us not being able to get out and see people and, you know, have people look at you weird for liking wrestling. It's nice to have just a day or two per week where we can just sit down, sort of shoot the shit and just have a laugh. As you say, we've had some great interviews, but some of our favorite episodes, like the other day we had a guest drop out last minute, so we just chatted for like an hour and a half about Vince McMahon. It's just an opportunity to sound off, talk about what's on our mind. We like to do little things like reviews, like retro reviews, or we'll talk about the week in wrestling. We've started doing things like fantasy booking, so like fantasy booking this year's Mania card, things like that. Like I say, it's just a bit of fun, between two mates, really. But we've got a lot of big things planned, a lot more big guests. We've just had just incredible. We've got the Koloffs coming up soon, Nikita Koloff and the Koloff dynasty. We're just having fun. We've only been going for about 4 months, and it's mad, honestly mad to say and see how quickly we've got to where we are. Especially having Bischoff on, that was like a personal life highlight.
Yeah.
I still genuinely can't believe it happened. It just happened just on the off chance as well. Just got lucky.
Can happen that way sometimes. Can happen that way. I never thought I'd get to interview someone like Eel O'Neill. And then out of the blue last year after the quarantine event, it happened. Sometimes these things just happen when not we don't think they're going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. We never went into it with any expectations. We started off really strong because we had Grado as our first guest.
Not a bad start at all.
That was just a case of, obviously, we used to be with Stuart. Stuart knew a guy who knew Grado, and we just sort of like, it was who you know sort of thing. But even then, after having Grado on, we didn't exactly like it. We didn't go up and up and up. We had some smaller names. We had some indie names. We just want to chat to everyone. We want to hear stories. We don't really care if it's, you know, Cena 1 week, Hulk Hogan the next week, Vince McMahon the next week. I'm happy for it to be the local wrestler from down the road, as long as he's got something interesting to say.
I sometimes find, especially having listened to MGB with all the indies that they've had on their podcast, that sometimes it's the people who are on the indies you get the better stories from anyway. I mean, you get some cracking stories from people like Bischoff and Daddy Wood from Rock and Cena and people of that magnitude. But sometimes it's the people who are at the grassroots level who are putting the nights in. Sometimes three shows in a night sometimes. Yeah. And they sweat and bleed this business that we love. And I got to experience a little bit of that when I got to interview the Ducklings of WrestleMania 2 years ago. So it was... Your show's very good for bringing the stories out of people, no matter who they are. Well done, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, that's what we enjoy the most. You know, we could have somebody sit there and say how great it is working for Vince McMahon, how great it is working for Tony Khan or whatever. But I want to hear about those stories that are on the road, the things they get up to backstage, the things they get up to with their colleagues. You know, we've had Ring of Honor guys on a lot, and obviously they all know each other, so we always hear these funny stories. And there's that sort of like continuity. So some of our episodes have sort of bled into other episodes. We had an indie guy called August Artois on, and he was far and away one of our best. It was fun. It was funny. He was intelligent. He was down to earth. And he did it all in character as well. So he was a bit of an arrogant prick, I'll be honest. But that's what made it so special. It was brilliant. And that sort of bled into talking about Garrett Bischoff, and then obviously into Eric Bischoff, and we've hopefully got Garrett coming on soon as well. So, like I say, that continuity of we like to just keep things, you know, smooth and ticking along.
Lovely.
All right. We know that you have another podcast to record straight after this. I promised you I would try and keep Matt on a leash. I've not done a great job this first 10 minutes.
No.
Matt, just as a little self-promote, I can tell you that MGB did an interview last night, and it was a wrestler that we haven't actually even personally seen yet, but we've been watching some of his matches on YouTube, and that turned out to be an absolute cracker as well. So, yeah, you don't always necessarily know who's going to be the good interviews until you actually get them in the room with you talking. How about we move on to some good cop moments, guys?
Do it.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Good.
Bad. All right. Don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good. Bad.
As always, guests get to go first. So, Chris, what is your main good cop moment? I always say for the week, but I don't think that's necessarily always going to apply with me, so
well,
time frame you would like.
I've tried to keep it over the last week, just to keep it as relevant as possible. I'm going with Fastlane for my good cop moment. completely took me out of...
you okay, that's took
that? Me out by surprise, out of nowhere. It was fantastic. It was a great pay-per-view.
What were you watching?
Oh no! Seriously, it was good. It was the first half was a bit slow. The first half wasn't great. I'm not into. I'll come to this a little bit later. I'm not into the whole women's tag team title scene on SmackDown and what they're doing there. But other than the starter, like, I really enjoyed the pre-show match. Really enjoyed Ali versus Riddle because it led to the end of Retribution, and that was a long time coming and needed to happen. But no, like the no holds barred match was awesome, like properly brutal. The main event was incredible. Roman and Bryan. It's led on to now what's going to be a triple threat at Mania with Edge. No, I loved it. I had absolutely no expectations. I think that's why I loved it. I went into it thinking, oh, Fastlane again. Here we go. I'm only watching this because I'm in lockdown and I might as well stay up and watch it. Like the last couple of Fastlanes have been garbage, but no, I had a great time watching this one, and it finished at like 1:30 in the morning for us in the UK, which obviously never ever happens. So that was absolutely that was a beautiful moment. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't like it.
It should have been better. Is all. I'm someone who buys into kayfabe still, even at 36 years old, because the fact of the matter is that if they're going to the story. I need to be able to believe it. The kids will believe anything they've written, they're spoon-fed. But I need to buy into stuff. As you were saying, some of the stuff with the women's tag team title scene on SmackDown isn't the best. But at the same time, that was there purely to promote Sasha versus Belair. There was nothing to do with tag titles at all. Having said that, this week there's been a lot of positive build going forward towards TakeOver and WrestleMania. So that's good stuff. There is some good stuff, but You do have the prize at the event. Get World Your Best Commander of the Week, that's all.
I am curious what you guys think. Obviously, you just talked about Retribution being split up there. We know Mustafa Ali is now going in for surgery, and apparently he's had an injury for several months. Would they have actually split Retribution up if it hadn't been for that injury to Mustafa Ali?
Should have been months ago.
Yeah, should have been months ago. I heard that they were planning to split it.
We know Vince will stick. Vince obviously still ran with this story, so he was obviously, he's the one who makes the final decision. Should it have been split up months ago? Absolutely. That's not what I said.
Named
the fact he let it keep running, would he have kept it running even further if it hadn't been for his, if he hadn't have definitely needed surgery at this point?
As soon as somebody called him Slapjack and T-Bar, you knew that they were responsible for him immediately.
Yeah, I heard they were going to keep it running until Mania, and have what happened at Fastlane happen at Mania instead. But I don't really see what that extra month would have really accomplished, or what it would have achieved, or what they're even hoping to achieve. It, like you say, it had played out months ago. It was tired and just.
They had an opportunity and. They didn't take it. This is an opportunity to right the wrong they did for Nexus 10 years ago, and they didn't. If anything, they damaged the careers of Dijakovic, Madden, and big fan of Mia Yim, of course, that we are. It's damaged all of their careers almost irreparably in WWE.
Yeah,
I was so hoping you'd forgotten Mia Yim's name then, because it was like, I'm such a big fan of. And I knew
that was not helping
you out at all.
No, because I've been conditioned into calling her Reckoning, which I didn't mind as a wrestling name. It's actually quite a good name, I think. But probably the best name that they had in Retribution. But
that's not saying much, but
it's not saying much, no. No.
All right, Matt, what have you got for your good cop moment of the week?
A lot of the build was good. But for me, it's been some of the counters I've seen this week in wrestling. Some of the counters I've seen, I'm not talking about the one that was being shared around on Twitter, which I had to jump in and help Sam about, because you probably saw, I don't know if anyone saw, someone was up for a power up for like a victory roll, and he countered, grabbed top rope, jumped back up again, and rolled through. Kofi Kingston catching AJ Styles in the SOS as he went for a phenomenal forearm, and it was a perfect catch and got it. And then Gable up the ante on SmackDown by catching Montez Ford in a Northern Lights suplex after a springboard into the ring. I've never seen anything like this. It's like people are upping their game with, because we've seen it all, everything fans. We have seen everything that can be done. Never seen that before. I saw that and I literally jumped off the sofa. Chris said, "What the hell are you doing?" So I was sitting there watching it be fun. I actually jumped up. I'm like, it excited me. I mean, I know how good Chad Gable is as a wrestler. I know how good Kofi Kingston is. And Styles, and I think Montez Ford is going to be an absolute superstar once he goes solo. We're seeing some amazing countering in. Not just in WWE, but we see it all the time happening in like New Japan. I dare say we see it on AEW. I don't watch as much as other people do. And we're starting to see some better counters on Impact as well. I'm sure the Indies have got some good counters as well, Graham. I'm not selling them short. But it was this week, it was basically the countering of the springboarding moves. Impressive.
I'm trying to remember. Which event did you say that was? I'm sorry.
Raw and SmackDown.
That's what I thought you said. When you started explaining it, there was a similar one on NXT UK this week as well. And I was trying to rack my brains. Having tried to watch as many things as I can in the last 2 hours, everything's starting to...
I haven't got to UK yet this week.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Chris, thoughts?
Oh, I love a counter. Like, I'm the same. I pop for a counter just as much as I pop for anything else. Any RKO counter... All of the RKO counters are amazing. The one he did on Seth from the curb stomp.
WrestleMania 31. Oh.
31, yeah, is like my all-time favorite counter. I think you're right. We are seeing a lot more of them recently, and we're seeing them shared across social media a lot more recently. I think you're right that maybe the wrestlers are trying to out counter each other. Maybe, I don't know how else to word it. They're trying to outdo each other a little bit. Obviously, I famously am not an AEW fan. I try and keep up with it so that I can obviously talk crap about it on Twitter. But they're well known for their counters as well, especially if you look at guys like the Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express and any of the guys that can do all the flippy stuff, any of the high flying stuff. You get a lot of really cool counters there, which often look so much more impressive than anything, any big moves, anything flashy. So yeah, no, that's a solid one. Yeah, man, I agree. We're definitely seeing a lot more of it.
So I can put you on the AEW spectrum. Like, we know we've got the hardcore fans. We've got Matt on totally the other end.
I keep up with it enough to sort of understand and know what's going on.
Have you been watching the Monday show at all?
God, no, absolutely not.
That was where I draw my line as well. I haven't made any attempt to watch that. And no. I haven't been trying to watch AEW Dark either. There's not enough time to do that. But certainly Dynamite I will try and keep up with.
That I don't want might to make my bad cop moments.
I don't want to watch 15 two-minute long matches on Dark, so I dread to think what...
It's been my go-to thing. There's more matches on Dark, but at WrestleFuckingMania.
I,
quantity does not equal quality.
No, absolutely. There's so many of those matches are squash matches. I did used to watch a little bit of Dark when it first started because... You know, it's just an easy thing to find on YouTube and just flick through rather than having to sit down and watch a show live. But yeah, so many of those matches are just like, what are they accomplishing? Like a squash match can do wonders for, like, I don't know, a Wardlow or somebody like that, a big guy. But then nothing seems to happen with them after. That's just it. Do you remember that squash match? Yeah, great.
One of our favourites, Lady Frost. She had a couple matches on Dark and she, as always, was an amazing... put a major performance in. Haven't seen her since.
And the co-main event in as well.
If AEW literally said, like, now we'll pass, you've made a big mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Graham, what's your good cop moment of the week?
I picked one that might be a little controversial because I think it's a good cop moment, but there was a lot of people on Twitter who thought it was a bad cop moment. Obviously, in the US, we're done with the network starting, I believe it's April 1st, I think is the final shut-off day. I know if you want to watch WrestleMania, you've got to watch it on Peacock Premium. It just happened that my subscription ran out in the middle of March, so I cancelled it and I joined Peacock for this month, just so I can see. Well, actually, I got 4 months, but anyway, just so I could see how the pay-per-view worked, and then I'll be ready for WrestleMania in a few weeks' time. One of the things that has definitely angered a few people, but I'm actually okay with it, censorship. We've seen a few of the things from the WWE Network that has not moved across to Peacock, and there's a few people upset about it. So, in case you haven't heard the two things so far, I'm not sure if there are more, but the main two are... WrestleMania 6, Roddy Piper, Bad News Brown. Piper painted half of his face black. I hear Bad News Brown now. Now he's talking about Harlem and how he's proud to be from Harlem, Piper said during the pre-match interview. Now I can stand here and I can be black and I can be white. Don't make no difference to me. It's what's on the inside. And Brown reflected. He said, I thought it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And I figured, let him do it. And one of these times he's going to be sorry. I have no problem with that segment being cut at all. 40 years later, it seems absolutely ridiculous that something like that would be on the network anyway. But apparently, some people still want to see that type of stuff. The other one, which was probably a more obvious one, is the segment between Vince and John Cena, and Vince uttering a word as
Keep it up. Keep it up.
I'm sorry?
It's from Survivor Series 2005, I believe.
It is Survivor Series 2005, correct.
I remember watching that and I was like, no.
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 They defended it, though. They defended it on TMZ, the show in America, saying it's an outlandish and satirical skit involving fictional characters similar to that of many scripted television shows and movies. Well, you can try and defend it all you like. There's no reason. Why does that need to be on Peacock? Hey, you know what I want to see tonight? I want to watch that 1 minute segment between Vince McMahon. Like, it's ridiculous. There's no reason for
it. It adds nothing to the pay-per-view at all.
Absolutely. And will WrestleMania 6 survive without that match? I'm pretty sure it would be okay. Now, my only problem is, though, I don't think they went far enough. Now, Matt, you actually, when you said quality, not quantity, I was like, whoa, that's one of my key words I've got actually written down here. How about getting rid of some of the other things? How about those Saudi pay-per-views? I think they could probably go as well. I don't think that fits necessarily in with their Lashley Sisters segment. I know we talked about that recently, Matt, as well. How about the ridiculously gratuitous shots of Finn Balor's abs? I think that could
Whoa.
You know I put that in for comedic effect. I didn't actually think that for one second.
There are a lot of straight men who would like to watch Finn Balor's abs.
NBC Universal, it says, is reviewing all 17,000 hours of material to make sure it aligns with Peacock standards and practices. WWE is being made aware of any edits. That's 2 years, Matt, just so you know, okay? Now, to give you some context...
Before they bought the contract...
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They have no problem with it at all. Just for context, Matt, our average episode is about 1 hour. It would be the equivalent of editing out 1/10 of a second of our average episode. I don't see where the big problem is. I don't know why people are getting so upset by it. Apparently, DVD sales are rocketing, though. Some people who really want to watch those segments, they're already snapping up those videos on eBay and places like that. People have their big DVD libraries, are very happy that they can still watch those moments. For me, it's a good cop moment. There are certain things that can definitely be removed, and it's not going to affect my enjoyment of wrestling one the slightest.
I fully agree. Piper Brown is not a great match in itself anyway. The fact that they actually had Booker T standing there to say, "Tell me, he didn't just say that." That says it all, unfortunately.
Yeah.
To anything else, just actually that is good completed. So.
Anyway, okay. Cool. Right. So Kane going into the Hall of Fame finally, long, long overdue. Deserves it more than 90% of the guys in there. Same for RVD if that happens. I know it hasn't been confirmed yet. Shawn Spears being used better in AEW. I was a big fan of Ty Dillinger. I thought he was going to be a big time player in AEW, and obviously just has been used horrifically. NXT announcing just the most insane looking card for Stand and Deliver. It looks incredible. This we say at every takeover, this is going to be the best one ever. But this, especially being across two nights, even just the four matches that they've got announced for each night at the moment, they already individually look like the best takeover ever. And my last one, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly just bring in such intensity to this this feud. I think this is the best we've seen of Cole. I think Cole has stepped up another level, and that's a guy who's already on top of his game. So that's my quick fire good cop moments. It's been a great week. Been a great couple
can't
of weeks.
Can't argue with that. NXT, just watching highlights, it was like moment after moment after moment. It's just fantastic. Yeah, the way they've set that card up, yeah, I agree. Can't wait.
Going to be good. I'll quickly throw Raquel Gonzalez in there as well. I think she's destined for greatness. She's been awesome. She's looked good every time we've seen her. I love the way that they've had Io Shirai go after her, because she's pretty much gone through everybody else now, hasn't she, that's challenged her that way around, the correct way. So I love the way that she's now almost sort of doing an Aleister Black and be like, I want you. You challenge me. You fight me. I think that's really cool.
All right, Matt. Take it away.
Right. Perhaps all WrestleMania build for me. The Fiend's new look sort of works. I like that. He looks even more grotesque. I like it more. As Chris said, Kane getting in the Hall of Fame. The man cried on the bump when he was told he was going on the Hall of Fame. I'm so happy he's in there. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins in 2 weeks at WrestleMania. Yes, please. I want to see this so badly. The build between Tommaso Ciampa and Walter. I'm not calling him Walter because I'm not German. The build is fantastic. Sammy versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. Yes, please. Chemistry has always been amazing together, and now we get to see it on the grandest stage of all. And Asuka has got a new opponent because Charlotte Flair's at WrestleMania. It's Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley's first match on the Raw brand will be at Mania for the Raw Women's Championship. Doesn't get bigger than that. And Rhea Ripley is better than Charlotte Flair. Controversial.
Say, every time she's been and made that step up, she's always impressed. That match at WrestleMania last year was certainly a banger.
Yep. Two WrestleMania matches 2 years in a row for a woman who's only just come to the main roster is pretty. Tells you everything you need to know about Rhea, doesn't it? She's awesome.
I actually tipped Graham off to this earlier in the week, saying Charlotte's at WrestleMania. I've got a new opponent, and I'm not sure who Graham actually said and messed in DM to me, but it wasn't someone who I took seriously as an answer. But yeah, it's Rhea Ripley, so it's all good.
It was more a comment of, I was asked, what would I like to see at WrestleMania? And I would love to see Ronda appear. Did I think it was happening? No, not for one second. But I'm still hoping at some point, much like you wanting Brock to keep coming back, I would love Ronda to come back at some point, and we'll see when it happens. I'm sure it'll happen at some point, but it's just becoming a little bit longer than I thought it would be initially. I thought she would be out for I knew it was going to be longer than 6 months, but now we're at, 2 years? It's been a little bit too long for me. All right, you got a countdown for me, Matt?
I could do a countdown for you, Graham, yes.
I thought that's why I was talking to buy time. You got to figure out your phone over there, Granddad?
Not spraying up then on the go.
Uh-oh, you're frozen. Hold on a second. I can't see you. Oh, now I can see you, but reset it for me. I just suddenly realized you weren't moving. I thought you were just relaxed.
Okay.
And then you said go, and I didn't have anything. All right, Young Rock, it's took me a little while, but I've watched the first two episodes. I'll certainly be watching the next two as well. Really enjoying that on Peacock. Cassandra Cup on IWTV tomorrow, or today if you're listening as this comes out. That was actually the last event that Mason and I went to live when it was originally at Primetime Pro Wrestling. Butch versus Gore. This is Butch versus Gore 2, essentially. Austin Gray versus Adonis on WWE 205 Live. Phenomenal. Great to see him. Don't like the name, but really enjoyed his match. Coast to Coast, I traditionally hate. It's probably one of my least favorite moves in wrestling. Dragunov's one really caught me out. He went up to the top rope to go and do a splash. His opponent went to the other corner. I was like, ha, you can't get me now. Went ahead and proceeded to do a coast-to-coast. Fantastic. Nightshade from Wolfram Pro Wrestling did her debut podcast on A Wrestling Gal this week. Empty Promises at Mission Pro Wrestling with Thunder Rosa. Brilliant. Twisted Sisters were back. Great to see her with Holly Dead. I'm surprised no one mentioned Matt Sydal versus Kenny Omega. It was pretty good. Just about got through.
Yeah. Matt Sydal was an okay match, yeah.
Oh, it was a little better than okay, but...
It was a solid match, yes. It was a solid match, yeah.
Yeah, what I watched of it was good. That is, yeah, good. That's as nice as I will be about AEW.
Couple of weeks in a row, we've not really talked about it. I thought Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa was amazing the previous week, and no one really kind of talked about it either. So I put it at the end, just in case.
The reason I didn't was because I saw the same amount of people saying good things about it as bad things about it.
I didn't see people talking bad about it at all.
I saw, for every three people I saw praising it, I saw one person saying this doesn't need to happen.
Really? Wow! Yeah. All I saw was match of the year contendership.
No, I'm the same as I'm the same there. For every three people I saw praising it, I probably saw more than one. I probably saw two, maybe even three, being negative about it. But I obviously hang out in very different crowds.
I personally thought it was a very, very well done event because it was an event. Let's face it, Britt Baker versus probably the fastest running female star on AEW against the biggest star in the company. Sorry, Cody, she is.
Good. Bad.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
Right, where am I? Right,
Hang on. Dude.
Go ahead, Chris. That was your bad cop moments. We'll figure it out.
Okay, it's because we just go for a whole episode.
And we're used to edit. We'll just throw this thing out. It's so much better when it's raw uncut. We'll just leave it in.
Right, my bad cop. This has been sort of going over the last couple of months really, but it's really reached its really reached breaking point now. This obsession in WWE with Reginald, I just don't get it anymore. I liked him at first with Carmella, him sort of being in the background, and I think it helped give an extra dimension to Carmella, who came back as this, I don't even know what to describe her new character as, other than, I mean, she's always been that sort of bitchy, better than you, I've got more money than you, just like a white Sasha, really. So Reginald gave her a little bit of an edge, a little bit different, never knowing what was going to go on with him, but he's just shoehorned into absolutely everything that happens, female-wise, on SmackDown, and I just don't understand it. I've seen him in the ring against Sasha, and that was cool. Like, that was really cool to be teasing, like, a proper intergender match, which obviously a lot of people don't like, but a hell of a lot of people have been crying out for years. That was a really cool moment, and I was hoping maybe we'd see more of him in the ring. All we've seen of him in the ring since is taking, like, the occasional leg drop, the occasional pin from a woman. And I don't know. I don't know if it... Does it make the women look... What does it do for the women involved? Like, Shayna, for crying out loud, Shayna in 2018-19 was on top of the world. She was part of what I enjoyed about NXT the most. I love Shayna. I love that style of wrestling. I love that just break your jaw and choke you out sort of style. And now look at her. She's an absolute joke. And I don't think Reginald is particularly helping with that. I think it's making it look worse. Look at that that segment from a couple of weeks ago. I think it might have been last week, actually, where they went shopping. And Shayna was just sort of like sat there playing a comedy character on her phone. I don't want to see Shayna as a comedy character. I love comedy in wrestling, but not from someone like Shayna, not from like a Ronda or a Brock or anybody like that. So yeah, I think Bianca and Sasha, there's not much of a story there other than Bianca is the EST. She's amazing. I love Bianca. She won the Rumble. That's the story. She won the Rumble. I'm challenging you for your title. We don't need Reginald in there. We don't need Reginald in there. He's jumping around from, what's he called, a sommelier, isn't it? Like, sommelier-ing for this person, then this person, then this person. He's playing like a little rat kind of character, going from woman to woman to woman. I don't really know what's his goal, what's his aim, what's he trying to accomplish. Just let him go to NXT, because he is, I know he is a part of NXT, he's signed there, and let him wrestle, or put him on 205 Live and elevate them, because in-ring, he's incredible. But this... If this is meant to be a story, I ain't reading it.
It has seemed pretty random recently. I would agree with you. When it was with Carmelo, it was fine. You could see what was going on. But now, recently, it just seems to be, like you say, just keep inserting him into different places. I agree with everything that you said. He obviously has some talent. 205 would be the perfect place to put him, I would think.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing if he stays with Nia, then that's fine. Because, you know, I think that him and Nia actually worked quite well together in terms of chemistry. But you're right, it seems like a bit of a waste of Shayna. I do have to disagree with you on one point, though, Chris. One of the best things that Brock did in recent years was his comedy, was when he actually was walking under the Brock Party briefcase.
And he yes, actually, to be fair, yeah.
Just, I mean, we've seen before that Brock, when he actually wants to, he can do comedy. And he actually can be the light and soul of the party. You tune in because you want to see Lesnar actually kick someone's ass. When Seth was the world champion and Brock were challenging him for the title, we all wanted Brock to kick his ass because Seth made us want to hate him. I'm off track here, though. Reginald was best with Carmella. He's not Somali anymore. He seems to be a shoe shopper now. So I'm like, yeah. we've all done that, haven't we? We've all done that trip.
Go ahead, Matt. What's your main bad cop moment of the week?
I've got a few. I've got a few things that I could have chosen between, Graham. But my first one, which is what I'm doing for this one, Graham, stop huffing and puffing, is I'm talking about Dolph Ziggler. This time last year, he was in the hottest angle going into WrestleMania. And people can argue with me on that one, and they will. But the fact of the matter is that between Valentine's Day and Dolph's only ever singles match at WrestleMania, which is still amazing in my opinion, everyone was talking about Otis, Mandy,
and Dolph. All people care about. Everyone, when they saw those flowers drop at Valentine's Day and Otis, like, slowly meander out of a restaurant, his heart broken, we all felt that. Because that is something everyone can relate to. Mm-hmm. And Ziggler was in the hottest angle going into WrestleMania. This is the point where we thought that Mustafa Ali was going to get his big moment as the SmackDown hacker, of course. And obviously it all came to a head at Mania and, you know, love won through. But now, fast forward a year, Otis is a monster, still a monster, as it were, and he's coming up alongside Chad Gable on SmackDown. Dolph Ziggler is dropping into a part-timer as part of a tag team championship reign. And I had to look up who his tag partner was because I'd forgotten it was Robert Roode.
We even talked about this last week.
I forgot he was partnered with Robert Roode.
I asked you, what was the name of the tag team? And you make fun of me for forgetting stuff.
Graham, that's how much they are not putting a spotlight on those tag titles on SmackDown.
That's more a fact of you're getting old and your memory is going, I think.
Graham, up until last week's notes, I actually had to correct myself because I thought the Street Profits were still the champions. I didn't. That's how much I haven't seen Dolph and Robert Roode on SmackDown. I didn't remember they held the titles.
You got to start watching at times four. It's not helping you.
Said the man who didn't watch SmackDown. My backup moment is the fact that Dolph Ziggler, he can still sell like Shawn Michaels on speed. But the fact of the matter is that his career is just going further and further down. I'd be quite surprised if he doesn't have his release before next WrestleMania.
He's been there for a long time. I think if a change of scenery would probably be good for him. Get some new matches. Yep. Now, I'm going to be a broken record, and I'm going to talk about a lot of the same things again. My bad cop moment is the Peacock streaming service. The functionability. Obviously, in England, you don't have to worry about that because you still have the network. There's a lot of network envy right now from people in the US craving that they could go back to the network, as it were. I saw one quote, I think this is on Twitter. Source Helmy said, a huge design flaw with a lack of pause and rewinding functions during live events. Implementing these features can be done and tested in a few weeks. These are basic features every streaming service has. The fact someone signed off on not having them is mind-boggling. The fact a Walkman can do this in 1979 and you can't in 2021 is comical. I didn't actually realize that because I was watching live and I didn't pause it. Like if the guys want to go and get a snack or something, it's like, quick, go get a snack between the matches. Like, I'm not pausing it for that if you miss a minute of the match. So I didn't even notice that at the time, to be honest. But I have done that previously. Sometimes I'll join the pay-per-view like 30 minutes late, go click back to watch from the start, and then in between matches when they're doing the build-up, which I already know about, I can just go ahead and skip through that. So, yeah, that's really bad that something like that's happening. So you're at work, and you arrive 30 minutes late, bad luck. You're just going to have to watch from where it is and then go back and watch. I don't understand that. All the services, Matt, IWTV, PowerSlam, everyone you can possibly name to do with wrestling has this. All the streaming services have this. It makes no sense at all that you would spend billions of dollars. Oh, sorry. Is it $1 billion they spent for it?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact deal. Yeah, I think that's about right. And you can't put in something as basic as that? That's absolutely ridiculous. Now, that's the main problem I saw people talk about on Twitter. I got my own personal issues with it as well. So for JGB Wrestling Podcast, we're highlighting certain wrestlers and we want to go find their matches. Normally it was no problem. You just type in the wrestler's name and it brings down all the people. So I was looking for Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. I did a search. I got zero responses to that. So I had to go find it. So I was like, well, that's fine. It's Extreme Rules 2012. No big deal. So I had to go to WWE. I had to click on pay-per-views. I had to scroll through three screens to find Extreme Rules. Then I had to say which season it was. Any idea which season Extreme Rules 2012 is by any chance, guys?
Nope.
No, me neither. That makes no sense. Why wouldn't you put it by year? So I had to find out. I think it was season 6. I'm not 100% sure. Having found that event, I then had to click on it. Now, unfortunately, me being a cheapskate, I took advantage of a deal, and I'm going to blame TW Takes for this one. He mentioned the fact that it's $5 if you get it with commercials, $10 without, but you can sign up for the first 4 months for $10 with commercials. And I was like, that's too good of a deal. That subsidizes my title match network for 3 more months then. So I took the commercials for 4 months. So as soon as it starts, boom, you got your 30-second commercial. Then I've got to find where the match is on that pay-per-view that I want to watch. And, of course, the one I want to watch is not going to be the first one, is it? So I had to click on the next segment. I had to watch another 45-second commercial, only to find out that's the wrong place. I had to click on the next part of the video to find. I had to watch 2 minutes of video just to find exactly what I'm looking. There is so much problems with this right now. This is going to be really difficult. And this is for an event that's on a pay-per-view. If I want to find that random Raw match that has some interest for us, I don't even know if I can physically do it. Having said how difficult it was on my laptop, on my phone, it was physically impossible, as far as I could tell, to find that match. I could not find Extreme Rules 2012 on my phone. I don't know. There's no search engines at all. All I could do was click on WWE, and there was no segment that said pay-per-views when I was on my phone. So it might just be I have a bad phone. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Peacock is killing me already. I'm already tempted to waste that $10 and go, I don't care. I'll pay my $10 a month like I used to on the network. I will have no commercials. But yeah, the lack of accessibility, the not being able to do all the basic things that we're used to, this is a far inferior system. And it's spoiling my enjoyment of wrestling right now. That's my bad cop moment for the week.
Yeah, I think what must be concerning is that it's like, what are we now, 18 days before WrestleMania?
Sounds and they've got these right.
issues. That's shocking. Like, if they'd have done this months and months and months in advance, at least they'd have had time to iron things out. But I heard, obviously, as you say, like, for us, this is completely alien. We don't know anything about Peacock in the UK. But from what I've heard, the vast majority of content isn't going to get on there until the summer. You know, so what about guys who, like, for shows like ours, people who want to go back and do, like, a SummerSlam retro review or something like that, you know, on the build-up to SummerSlam, you might not be able to do it. It's baffling. Really baffling.
I might be wrong here, Graham, but...
Got my fingers crossed.
So have you got Peacock Premium, Ben?
Yes, Peacock Premium, yes.
Okay, because... from what I can tell, the basic doesn't give WrestleMania.
No, the basic one, there's a free service as well. Like, if you wanted to watch, like, Young Rock, for example, that's on the free service.
The basic ad-supported subscription will not be showing WrestleMania.
That's not true. They're showing it.
In my defense, I'm trying to find this on the fly sort of thing, because I'm like...
No, it's...
That's such a good deal.
Yeah, it was $2.50 a month. I was like, I can't. Now, I will say, though, I was worried about this, though. I actually thought while I was watching the pay-per-view, they were going to insert commercials in there. And to their defense, they didn't do that. So we got to watch the whole 2.5 hours without a single commercial, which if I'm paying for commercials, I was actually kind of impressed that they did that. But yeah, they've got things to work on for sure. I think, and you might have been the person I actually saw a comment on this, Chris. The fact that they did this ahead of time was sensible because you don't want to screw up on WrestleMania. You want this event to try and iron out. If something went wrong, then okay, let's work on this. And then we've still got those 3 weeks before WrestleMania. So at least that it made sense that they did the switch before WrestleMania.
Well, this is what happened when they launched the network at WrestleMania 30. Problems galore they had. They've learned a lesson on that side of things. But I also know that I have problems with network still, Graham.
Oh, you do?
Trying to skip forward and back is impossible on a live stream because I do mine. I do all of mine through my Xbox. Other gaming products are available, of course, but I use that one, and you can watch live, watch from the start. If you skip forward though a little bit, it gets right to live.
I've had that issue. I've had that issue before.
But you can't spin back a little bit on certain things. So I don't know if that was an American only thing, Graham.
Not sure, because for me it's never a problem. Pay-per-views are on Sunday. I'm always around at 7 p.m. American time, so it's never really been an issue, so I'm not sure. It's possible that did happen, but, yeah. Yep.
Well,
all right. Shall we go for some shorter bad cop moments?
Chris, as again, you have up to a minute to bring us with your bad cop moment from a week. Is it all AEW or...?
It might just be. A little bit of Raw sprinkled in there as well.
Go ahead.
Right, so, yeah, we'll start with AEW. I'm going to go back a couple of weeks, talk about what's probably already been spoken about a whole bunch of times. I didn't enjoy the exploding barbed wire death match. Doesn't do it for me. Backyard mud show wrestling, death match, all this kind of crap, I'm just not interested in it. It's not wrestling. I understand that there are a percentage of people who love it, but there are places to go and see it. I don't think it should be on a nationally broadcast TV show. I want to come back to what you said earlier about Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker. I thought it was good for a gimmick match. I didn't think it was anything special outside of that. It's taken them a year and a half to give the women a main event, and it didn't really hit home for me. I think probably my biggest bad cop is agreeing with the whole Peacock mess. It's baffling, and I've got a lot of friends who have been affected by it, which is sad. I've had a pretty positive week, to be honest. I've struggled to even find, you know, Reginald was the biggest one for me on my bad cop moment, but I've struggled to find many. I've really enjoyed wrestling this week, so I'm afraid that's all I've got. Really?
That's always a good thing if you have something that's particularly bad. It's nice when that happens. Uh-oh, he's cracking his thumb. You realise you only have a minute, though, right? Looks like you got a lot to say up there. All right, go ahead.
Seth Rollins vs. Shinsuke Nakamura was slightly disappointing. I was expecting more. I was hoping for more. I was hoping for a proper intergender match at Fastlane. Didn't happen, of course. Who are you to say Dominic is great, says Corey Graves? I've never seen someone so green with envy, to be really honest. I've never seen someone so green as Dominic Mysterio makes so few mistakes. It's good to see. The train horn sound effects when Strowman does his run around the ring, doesn't help. Graham, surely you're happy to see Braun versus Shane at WrestleMania. Surely you'll be happy to see that one.
No.
I can't get excited for the ladder match at the Cruiserweight title match at WrestleMania. I just can't get excited for it at all. Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly happening on TakeOver. This should be on WrestleMania. It's worthy of it. And this would have been unsure, but Frankie Kazarian asking for to take... Nope. Frankie Kazarian asking Christian Cage if he's busy Monday nights. It's WrestleMania season. Frankie, no one's watching anything apart from Raw on Monday nights on the road to WrestleMania. Even if it's rubbish, they're watching Raw, mate. Guaranteed.
1 minute and 20 seconds. Nice.
And breathe.
And I can't.
I almost put the Jordan Devlin moment in your Devil's Advocate, but I was like, it's probably a little too obvious, so I left that one out. I need something a little more from left field if I'm going to do a Devil's Advocate. All right, Matt, I'm ready when you are.
Oh, yeah, I've got to do your time, haven't I? Okay.
I can talk for longer if you like. This is the one I teased on Twitter. I want to take you back to 1978, Matt, because we were a topical show. Either you guys familiar with John Wayne Gacy at all?
Name ring the bell.
All right, Gacy was a normal-seeming guy who had a Chicago-area political aspirations, owned a successful contracting firm, donned clown makeup to entertain local children, and seemed to be a boisterous pillar of the community. Then in late 1978, the remains of over 30 victims, mainly teenage boys, were found buried under and around his house and in nearby woods. A new docuseries that includes a 1992 interview with Gacy himself looks to give viewers a more in-depth look at the case. Now, you're wondering, why the heck are you talking about this, Graham? This has nothing to do with wrestling. This was the first commercial I had while I was watching Premium. Peacock Premium. I have a 7-year-old who thankfully went to the bathroom at that time. That is the commercial that comes on every single time. So every time a commercial comes on, I need to switch the TV off because we're talking about serial killers.
That's weird.
That's disturbing. I was absolutely shocked. I was appalled. I was like, what the heck? And then they're not like, obviously they're not going into too much detail on a commercial, but they're talking about the fact that they find bodies buried under the house. They're showing you graphic scenes of handcuffs and things. I was like, oh my gosh. He went to the bathroom. And then when he came back again, I was like, okay, I just need to not make, anytime a commercial comes on, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to have to distract him in some way. So I'm stuck with that for 4 months, as far as I can tell. And that's their show that they want. There's obviously, they haven't thought about this. Well, obviously, wrestling now is predominant. We're in the PG era. But you're showing commercials that are R-rated, essentially, or probably TV-14, to be fair. I don't know how I'm supposed to watch wrestling now with Jackson.
Pay $5 more.
I'm going to have to. Yeah, I'm going to have to pretty much blow off that $10.
That's how they get you.
but should I need to do that, though? That's the question. And I don't think I should. Why are you putting inappropriate commercials on? Or can't they? I don't know. Normally you get something where you can suggest if you want things similar to this. But I shouldn't have to watch a commercial about a serial killer with a 7-year-old while I'm just trying to watch something for my Extreme Rules.
You're asking the guy who hasn't watched an advert on YouTube for the last 2 years, Graham, so...
I haven't either. I got my ad block put up. Yeah.
No. As in I pay for premium.
I just have ad block, which is free, and I skip. I don't have any commercials on YouTube either. But
I pay £25 a month for that.
Good. Bad.
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating and go follow him on Twitter as well at KOWP Show.
Good. Bad.
That's so strange. I can't get over that. That's so strange. That's going to unsettle me all day now. Really,
I was like, what the heck? Like, if he hadn't gone to the bathroom and I didn't realize, and I didn't know who that person was. I've never heard of John Wayne Gacy or whatever it was. Like, I was 3 years old when he was committing crimes. And even though I've been in America for 20 years, there's bigger names than him for serial killers.
I love real life crime stuff. I've watched it all the time. But yeah, I was like, that name is a bell. How is this wrestling related?
That's my new task. Find things that are not topical and try and throw you off the scent so you can't figure out what I'm talking about. Yeah, 3 of my 4 segments were all Peacock this week. I was definitely a one track. Anyway. Hey, never mind. All right, Chris, did we decide anything for an open agenda at all? Anything that caught your eye? Yeah, football, I believe, is the topic, right?
Yeah, football. Obviously, it's been a garbage year for everyone, for every industry, sector, business, what have you, work and all that kind of stuff. And on a personal level, but it really hit football hard. It's hit every sport hard.
My technically kind of busy, I gotta admit. I'm in health.
I've had a good last year. Like I don't want to rub it in anybody's face, but it's been all right for me. I've been able to work from home. I've been able to spend 7 of my baby son's 8 months on earth with him, so it's been beautiful for me. But it's ruined a lot of things. It's ruined a lot of things that we hold dear to us that are so important, like sport, things that help you escape from the mundanity of everything going on. So to be this close to the rearranged Euros, I've never been more excited for football. As a Coventry fan, it's hard to get excited for football. but that's another story. Last few years have been good to us, though, but not this season. So I'm so excited to have football back. I don't know what the situation is with fans. Obviously, we've been watching football over the last year or so without fans, and I've coped better with no wrestling fans at shows than I have with football. And I think it's just because football stadiums are so big and wide open. You can hear all the footballers shouting at each other. It's just a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. I don't know what's going on there with fans at the Euros, but God, just give me something to look forward to. I'm so excited for it. I think this year, I'm so excited for it. I'm not even particularly going to be just rooting for one team either. For one country, sorry. I just want to watch some good football. All the best teams in the world coming together. Can't beat it.
And Scotland.
And Scotland, unfortunately, yeah.
And I can say that because I'm half Scottish.
As I've been very negative about Peacock, I do need to talk about a positive thing, though. Besides, this is the thing why I was excited about this happening. Not only do I get the network, I do get the Peacock content as well. And one of the parts of the Peacock content is I do get Premier League soccer, as they like to call it over here. I haven't watched a full soccer match in probably 2 years since I cancelled Premium because I wasn't paying it. I was like, too much. I got too many other subscriptions. That's going to have to go by the way. I will just watch. NBC does a pretty good job of putting highlights on. They normally have like 15-minute highlights of matches. And I'm like, sure, if it's free, I'll cope with 15 minutes out of 90. And Liverpool have not been great these last few months anyway, Matt. So it's been nice not to see 90 minutes of woeful defending. But yeah, that's been good that I can actually, if I want to now, they don't have everything on there, but I can actually pick and choose, perhaps during spring break, while I got a little bit more time, I might be able to go and watch a proper football match again.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm excited for the Euros in a few months' time. Obviously, got the Olympics, of course, as well, which are being held with no international fans in Japan. But phew, that's still fine. But that's still fine because the Japanese, they love their sport anyway, so they'll make plenty of atmosphere, and we'll be watching it from the safety of our own homes as well. And hopefully, there'll be lots of good things to talk about rather than some negative stuff. We are slowly coming through this. It's been a year, game. Can you believe? It's kind of depressing. It's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
But we're almost out the other side now. And who'd have thought that one of the countries who was doing so bad at one point is now one of the countries which is leading the way in the vaccine rollout? Who'd have thought it?
Yeah. And importantly, Matt, the disc golf tour's back on as well now. Last couple of weeks, there's been a couple of banging events.
I've been watching disc golf, Graham, as you know.
Good. Bad.
Okay, Matt, and action.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and however you choose to identify, welcome to the Devil's Advocate round of Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 136. This is where myself, Graham, and our guest, who is Chris on this occasion, will fire Devil's Advocates at each other. Now, in this case, a Devil's Advocate is a ridiculous statement which we do not believe, but we must defend for 20 seconds as if it is the God's honest truth. And, we accept it. It's not true sometimes, but sometimes you actually can defend it. It depends if you know the person well enough or not. But yeah, obviously, that is the legal statement out of the way. And of course, if we say I, we mean the person we are talking about. So it's usually guests. Choice, do you want to deliver your Devil's Advocate first, or do you want to receive a Devil's Advocate first?
I'll receive one first.
Okay.
Question is as well, do you want to receive just one Devil's Advocate, or would you like one from each of us?
Oh no, lay it all on me, I'll take both.
Hey, we have not been disappointed with that. We always give our guests a get out if they want one, but would you like Matt's Devil's Advocate, or would you like my Devil's Advocate first?
Let's go with Matt's.
Okay, oh, we need 20 seconds now, don't we? Sorry, Matt, I forgot to reset my time. All right.
Okay.
All right, I am ready whenever you guys are.
Okay, Chris, your Devil's Advocate is, I could listen to Shotzi scream all night.
No. Shit, this is going to be hard. I think Shotzi screaming really adds to the atmosphere. It's really believable and cool. Really comes across, you know, like she's not a cringe B movie horror character. Yeah.
Every week I smash it, Graham. This week I've been smashing it for months now. It's been great.
If you're the guests haven't figured it out, I've figured it out. You go on their Twitter feed like an hour before we go and come on air. You look for their latest tweet and you put the exact opposite of what they say. I figured you out, Matt. I don't think our guests have. If they do, they're going to start putting false information up to try and giving themselves an easy Devil's Advocate. But
Graham,
I had a feeling you were going to talk
Graham,
about
I've gone back months sometimes.
We are very defensive of Shotzi. Shotzi is definitely one of our favourites. So,
Shotzi's our girl, yeah.
I'm glad that one of the two of us defended Shotzi for that one. I think we had to do that one. All right, Matt, you got 20 seconds on your clock over there. My reading and timing at the same time.
I can do 20 seconds. Give me a second to get the second timer up. Hang on, I've got a problem here. Okay, ready?
Good, okay. All right, Chris, your Devil's Advocate for me is, of all the things that should have been removed from Peacock, I would have started with the final segment of Shawn Michaels' match with Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24, as nobody wants to hear two male wrestlers sharing their emotions. It totally destroys kayfabe.
Oh, this is impossible, you bastards. It is unnecessary to see a man who's wrestled for 900 years bow out in beautiful, emotional, I love you, best friend style. Yeah, it was horrible and cringe, and yeah. I've struggled there. That proper took me from left field. That's a hard one. I hate
Matt's a little more predictable. I try and make them so there's no way you can predict what they are. I thought it was only appropriate that I gave you that one, because if I gave it to Matt, it might sound a little homophobic. So I deliberately had to switch those around.
I hate Ric Flair, so that was hard for me.
Nobody wants to hear two men saying I love you to each other.
I could defend that, Graham.
I understand that, but that was why I didn't. I have another one for you anyway, so we'll be good. Whew. All right, Chris, let's see what you've got for us then.
Okay.
Go ahead with Matt's first, and I can get the timer ready.
Okay.
Let me what you got, Chris?
See. Make it as tough as you like. He was really mean. Yeah. Just remember how mean he was to you.
Okay. So, yeah, Brody Lee Jr., -1, isn't on TV nearly enough. Should be on TV every week, keeping him up till 4 a.m., hanging out with middle-aged men. Men in their 40s, men in their 30s, definitely healthy for him. Not setting unreasonable expectations. And, you know, it's good for his younger brother to be seeing his older brother get preferential treatment.
Absolutely. One thing I can add, being an older brother, is it's always best to show the oldest the preferential treatment. Mason, I'm saying to you as well, always make sure you get preferential treatment from your parents and everybody around you, because the older one is the more important one. And, it comes down to it. Staying on par when I do it.
Ooh, there was a lot of at those last 3 seconds, Matt. You were struggling a little bit there.
I did struggle a bit on that one because I struggled a bit, yeah.
I knew that one was coming because Chris kind of checked that one with me. I was a little worried about the direction it might go, but thankfully he kept it very PG for us. I will tell you off air what I thought it might have been.
Yes, yes. We could have brought a certain Brazilian into that, couldn't we?
We could, yes. He has no idea what we're talking about. That's fine. Matt, you got 20 seconds on the clock?
I do.
Right then. So my last one is... I'm ready. Andrade deserved to lose his job.
I didn't lose his job. He asked not to have it anymore. So, yeah, he could have done that. Why not? He wasn't doing anything. All he's doing is eating food in the back. You've been paid to be a wrestler. That means you have to actually wrestle. You don't just get to sit in the back, chat, eat food, post things on Instagram, etc., etc. Yeah, he was bringing Charlotte Flair down as well anyway. So, no, he needs to lose. He needs to lose his job. Ugh, not the greatest one. I was waffling a little bit there. Yeah, I saw that announcement come out, but yeah, I think it's for the best. Sounds like he doesn't have a 90-day release clause or whatever that thing is, a wrestling clause. So it
yeah,
sounds like
no one's really sure at the moment, are they? What's going on?
Well, it made much difference. Yeah. He's not done enough of the last 6 months worth talking anyway.
Yeah,
he's only got himself to blame, and it pains me to say that because Andrade versus Johnny at TakeOver Philadelphia is my favorite match ever. But
he's only relevant now because he's dating Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah, and he's been on the main roster for long enough. He's been in
WWE
for long enough, and he just hasn't learnt good English. And you know, it pains me to say it, but that is important. He's an incredible wrestler, but as we all know, that's not the whole deal.
It makes me think. With obviously in America, there's such a big Hispanic population. I'm surprised there isn't kind of like. Like a WWE Espanol, where they just have Spanish-speaking wrestlers, all the promos are in Spanish. Oh. You'd think that there would be a market for something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe there are 50 million Hispanics in the US. Obviously, you could show that in Mexico as well. You could obviously show it in Spain as well. I would have thought there would have been a market for people like that. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Right, Graham, have you got it from me?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Am I timing it as well, or are you gonna?
Yeah, you're timing it.
All right. Okay. It's a little bit long. I'm gonna warn you. Okay. Not as long as the one when I read Jim Cornette's speech that was 5 minutes long. All right, Matt. So, talking about the Hall of Fame this week, people who've been inducted. Kane, 8.23 rating on Cage Match. One-time WWF champion, one-time WWE World Heavyweight champion, one-time ECW champion, two-time Intercontinental champion, one-time WWF Hardcore champion, one-time 24/7 champion, two-time WWE Tag Team champion, nine-time World Tag Team champion, one-time WCW Tag Team champion, 8th Triple Crown Champion, 3rd Grand Slam Champion, SmackDown's 2010 Money in the Bank winner, 2-time Slammy Award winner for Best Family Values in beating up Jap Swagger in Match of the Year in 2014 for the Survivor Series Elimination Match, most cumulative Royal Rumble match eliminations at 46, and most Royal Rumble match appearances at 20, is the perfect person to go alongside somebody with a 2.32 rating on Cage Match. One-time World Heavyweight Champion who only defended it two times, won a 2008 Slammy Award, and that's about it as far as I can tell.
I'm going to talk about the great car leader, Graham, of course, who is the person who is going to the Hall of Fame, which is the first Indian to ever enter the Hall of Fame, of course. And do you know it's not a time yet, so I'll go for more than 20 seconds. So I will do that, no problem at all. The great car leader deserves to go alongside Kane. Kane should have gone in years ago, as Chris said earlier. But Kane is going in now because they had to squeeze him in somewhere. Because let's face it, Batista had been kicked out of the Hall of Fame in the induction ceremony because he's in AEW.
He has?
A lot of people are saying he's going to AEW, so that's why he isn't being inducted this year. Some people were saying at first, I'm going to do it in front of a big crowd, but there'll be a big-ish crowd at WrestleMania this year, two nights in a row, in fact. If there's rumours of him going to AEW, I wouldn't want to put him in the Hall of Fame either.
He's been posting a lot of photos lately with AEW superstars. He's been at their shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why Jericho's not going in.
Serious question, though, as we finish with the Devil's Advocate. Should Great Khali be going in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I think he should. For everything because that he's done.
Because he broke down. he did put a lot of spotlight in the Indian market. NXT India is starting because of what he did.
Yeah, 100%. And so he brought us the Punjabi prison match as well.
Which you saw live, Graham.
Where would we be without that?
No, I saw when he came back and assisted Jinder Mahal. I didn't see the original Punjabi. I have seen the Punjabi prison match live, and there's very few of those, obviously, so that is kind of on for the to-do list. Yeah.
Ironically, there have been three Punjabi prison matches. It was Great Khali's design, and Khali only participated in one of them, because the other two he was just interfering in. Right, you're one, Graham.
Oh, of course. I forgot I had to defend one as well.
Your Devil's Advocate is, and I'm going to try and do this as quickly and concisely as I can. People who type in all caps are the worst. So I'm glad the Warhorse lost the IWTV Championship.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he shouldn't have held it for that. It's just ridiculous. It's just so distracting. There's no reason to do it. You can obviously get your attention. If you're a big enough star, you don't need to shout loud. It's what you say that's what is important. So, yeah, he'd had a good run. He'd been there for like 500 plus days, but it's time for that new generation to come in who can actually type in low caps. Come on, Grandad, hit the caps lock, and you should be able to keep on typing just fine.
Pretty good.
I can't remember who the current champion is. I think it's Lee Moriarty, but I wasn't 100% sure, so I had to stay away from it. I was torn between two names, and I was like, I think it's him, but if I say the wrong name, that's going to be embarrassing for the indie mark that I am, so I had to stay away from that.
Good match as well. Very good.
I haven't seen that match yet, actually. That's something I do need to go on IWTV.
I will tell you exactly what happened, Graham.
You haven't seen it.
I have.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He loses. Chris, go ahead, tell us where we can find you on social media, tell us where we can find your wonderful podcast as well, and anything else you've got to promote.
I can be found at PWCDs. I'm sure most people already know me there and hate me there. I just tell the truth. I just say it how it is. You can find our awesome podcast at It's Our House Pod, literally everywhere, like all social media, all podcast platforms. YouTube is sort of our main thing, though. In terms of what we've got coming up, just more great guests. We've been trying to branch out a little bit more and not strictly stick to just wrestling, because obviously we've got other interests and the wrestling market is so washed out in terms of podcasts. But yeah, we've been doing things like football. We've got some YouTubers, cosplayers, streamers, things like that. We've got some really cool wrestling guests coming up soon, though. As I said, just incredible. We've got Tyson Dux coming up soon, Lufisto, the Koloffs, Garrett Bischoff. So yeah, stick around and keep an eye out for that.
But as usual, guys, follow us at Good Bad Wrestle. We'll be back next week, guys, for our Easter special. We're out of here.
Spring break special. Boom.
Same thing.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/